Thank you, Papa, for your provision for us in every area. And Lord, continue to speak to our hearts as, Lord, we look into the Word. Thank you. I'm going to jump right in this morning because we're talking about the values of pursuit. It's values that we've been going through. Are these eight: valuing His presence, believing in His goodness, declaring His word, living under grace, guided by the Spirit, extending the kingdom, serving people, and releasing honour. And this morning what we're going to be talking about is extending the kingdom, which fits very much in with what the Lord has already been doing in our hearts through our whole time of communion. So what does it mean when we say that we want to extend the kingdom? Well, let's first of all start with what the kingdom is. The kingdom is the domain of a king, and first of all it includes his people. And Colossians 1:13 says this: He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We are in a kingdom of light, a kingdom of love. We have a king. His name is Jesus. And when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, we are, number one, talking about the people in his kingdom. But we're also talking about the sphere of his activity. It is a king's domain. So we're going to look this morning at Matthew 28. Let's read this through and then we're going to pull the scripture apart. Matthew 8, starting at verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is after the crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus comes and he speaks to his disciples and he gives what most people refer to as the Great Commission. This is where he commissions us. And he starts by saying, "All authority has been given to me, not only in heaven, but also on earth." See, Adam was given authority. When God made Adam, God gave him authority. But because Adam chose to follow the devil and to listen to him, he gave that authority to the devil. That's why he has been called the prince of the power of this age. And that's why God had to come as a man. And as a man, he defeated Satan and won back what we lost. So now all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. And if he's got all authority, how much does the devil have? None. Something good for us to remember. Verse 19, he says, "Go therefore." I have the authority, now you go. Why? Because we're part of his kingdom and we're called to extend that kingdom. "Go therefore and make disciples." Notice he says disciples, not converts. There is a huge difference. So you don't want to have a baby and leave it on the footpath. But sadly, that happens many, many times where people go in and they get a decision, they get a convert, they get a new baby in Christ, and they just leave it on the footpath. They walk away and nothing happens, except that that person becomes disillusioned. We're to make disciples. The word disciple means taught one. It means one that grows in understanding, and it involves relationships. So let's carry on here. Make disciples of all the nations. Not just in the nations, but of the nations. We're meant to be affecting culture and turning nations. Sometimes our view is too small. Baptizing them in the name of. Notice it says name, not names. One name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are one, but they are three. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. You can see there, number one, the importance of teaching and word, but it's also in the context of relationship. It doesn't say, hey, give them a good book to read. Tell them what websites to check out. Now, God's a relational God, and he says discipleship needs to happen in the context of relationship. Bring people in relationship with you, and you start to impart to them what you have. Sometimes we think we haven't got much. Do you know that God loves you? Few of you do. That's a good place to start. Hopefully a few more of you have realized that. You're just silent about it. And that's the problem. Most of us are silent about what we know. And God says, my plan is that my people will simply share what they have and what they know with somebody else. Families grow, families increase. We had testimonies this morning of children and grandchildren. People joining families. That is God's heart. His heart is family, and family has relationship. And lo, I am with you always. It's presence-based, folks. It's not just going out to do a job, but it's presence-based. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And that is a good place to say amen. So what this means, first of all, it means that we live with the commission to take what we have received and to share it with the world. It is the Great Commission, and it's something that all of us have. And I believe that it's something that God is awakening the body of Christ to. Who has heard the statement that the lamb that was slain may receive the reward of his sufferings? Who's heard that statement? Okay, quite a few of you. Who knows where it comes from? Okay, not a hand. We have to go back to the 1800s. It's around about 1732, I think it is, from memory. It's the time of the slave trades. And in the West Indies, there is an island that the slave owner has, and he has 2,000 to 3,000 slaves there working in the hot sun and the sugarcane plantations. He has decided that no one will set foot on this island if they are a preacher or if they are bringing the gospel. In fact, he has declared that even if they get shipwrecked, he will shut them up in a house until somebody comes to get them. Two young Moravian men started to pray. And the end of it was that they sold themselves into slavery so they could be taken to that island. And as their family stood on the dock to say goodbye to these two young men that were on board ship, as that ship started to leave, they yelled out across the water, "May the lamb that was slain receive the reward for his suffering." Those two young men started the modern day missions movement. It was birthed out of Germany. A place called Hernhut. And the Moravians picked that up, and that became their motto, that became their cry. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward for his suffering. And I find it fascinating that that is starting to be echoed around the planet, and different ones are picking up that statement. Why? Because God is raising up the body of Christ to start taking the message of his love into the world. We have a commission. We need to know that there is a world that God so loved that he's still sending sons and daughters to. Second point, God's kingdom is extended through the words and activities of God's people. God can do it without us, but in typical God fashion, he doesn't. He does it through us. Who here was led to the Lord by somebody? Somebody prayed with them, somebody led them to the Lord, shared with them. Can you put your hand up? Okay. Most of you. Mark 16, verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Who wants signs and wonders? Who wants to see miracles? Then I encourage you, start releasing words. He confirmed the word. One of the places where we see miracles and that happen is when we just simply say what we have received from God. Steph talked about it a few minutes ago in her testimony. God said to her, I want you to lay hands on that person and pray for them. She received the word, she shared the word, and guess what followed? Signs of God's presence, God's love. Don't hold back. God wants what you have released. But let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I think one of the reasons why the body of Christ is silent is because the body of Christ doesn't know what its message is. Our message is a message of reconciliation. It says here that God has already forgiven the sins of the world. And sadly, many in the body of Christ are simply reminding the world of their sins. There is a huge difference. And when the church steps out of judgment and steps into the reconciliation, where we are imploring people to be reconciled to a God who loves them, a God who is good, a God who has already judged sin and was judged at the cross, the sin of the whole world. The New Living Translation says that he is not holding their sins against them. But how many Christians are? I think the church needs to get its message straight. And it needs to be vocal about what its message is. See, look at this. John 20, 21 to 23. So Jesus said to them, Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. I don't know about you, but that makes me go, wow. What if we started releasing forgiveness over cities like Las Vegas? What if we started declaring the goodness of God where we see sin rather than the judgment of God? Are sins being retained because we've retained them? Interesting thought. See, as you look through the Gospels, I'm not sure if you're aware of it. It's four Gospels, four faces of Jesus. Matthew, he is the king, he is the lion. And that's where we started, where we read the Great Commission, where he says, all authority in heaven and earth is mine. That's the statement of a king. Mark, he is the servant. And if you read at the end of Mark and you read the commission there, he says, these signs will follow those who believe. It's a statement regarding being a servant. Go and do. Luke is the face of the man. You see Jesus and his humanity in the book of Luke more than any other. And in the end of Luke, he says, wait in Jerusalem until you get some power. This is John. John is the heavenly aspect. He's the eagle. And we see this heavenly aspect here where he says, the Father sent me, and now the Father wants to send you. Take his heart, take his love, take his goodness, and start releasing it. Yeah, this mess, but you can release my forgiveness. Yes, this wrong, but you can release my love. We're called to release the heart of the Father. That's what an ambassador does. An ambassador releases what is connected to their kingdom in the land that they are in. If you go to the residence of the Australian ambassador, you step into that embassy, you are on Australian soil. You are no longer in New Zealand. You are in Australia. Where you are, the kingdom of God is. You just need to know who you are. You are an ambassador of the kingdom. You were once darkness, now you are light. Wherever you are, there is light. Good place at least to nod. See, some of us say, who am I? What can I do? Well, let me bring up a scripture that I love. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God's with you. So where do you start? Well, how about starting by just doing what's good? That in itself will probably shock a few people. See, most of this world lives with the culture, look after number one. Lie, cheat, do whatever you have to do. Just look after number one, because I am number one. I love what Bill Johnson says, our greatest and our strongest suit is serving. And we're going to talk about that more. Not next week. Next week you've got Tom Barley. That'd be awesome. He's a man who knows what it is to go and extend the kingdom. But I believe that's something that God wants each and every one of us to have, that delight of knowing that we extend the kingdom wherever we are, whatever we do. Does anyone know what the word anoint means? Yes, you're right. It means to smear. Who's picked up a jar of oil and ended up with oily hands? Okay, most of you are on the same page with me, right? That's a picture of what the anointing is like. To anoint means to smear. And what they would do when they anoint somebody is that they would pour oil over them. You get around oil and you'll get oily. If you want to increase the anointing on your life, just get round the anointed one. And who he is will rub off on you. And you'll become oily. That's all you have to do. Just get round Jesus. You'll carry his fragrance. You'll carry his light, his love, his goodness. And just go about starting to do good. Be a listening ear to somebody. When everybody else is gossiping and saying bad things, look for an opportunity to be light. I had this prophetic word for somebody, I think it was somebody in this church, about being a lighthouse. So you all want to be a lighthouse. But lighthouses are made to be where there are rocks, where there are hazards and where there is darkness. We're all like, oh Lord, yes, make me a lighthouse. But I want to be safe and comfortable. I don't want to have to shine my light because somebody might see that. God says, let your light shine. Let your light shine. Push back the darkness. See, light is light, whether it's a light in a room, a candle, or a light in stadiums, it's still light. You carry light. You are light. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Sometimes we think that it's a hard job that God's got for us, or some ministry one day somewhere out there. No, it's an everyday, everywhere, right here. If you love God, you are full of light. And God wants your light to touch the world. Let's finish this last statement. All believers are in full-time ministry as God advances his kingdom into every sphere of society through good works, heavenly insight, and supernatural intervention. Don't say you're not good enough. When you need light, you don't worry about what sort of light it is. How many of us have used our cell phones to give us light? Okay, yep, stuck in the dark, pull out your cell phone. You don't look at it and say, you're not a very good torch. No, you're just thankful that it gives you some light. See, there's some people in your world who are looking for some light. Just be you. Be the one full of light that God wants to touch the world with. In closing, I want to just share a couple of words that God gave me regarding this when I was praying about the fact that we are called to extend the kingdom, and yet so many of us want to just live comfortable. Stories of the two Moravian men terrify us. It's like, dear Lord, I'm glad it was them, not me. But I believe that God is raising up his body with such a passion for him. See, the first word that I got was that fear has crippled the church. We fear that we will be sent where we do not want to go, so we avoid. It's like if we don't talk about it with God, he won't send us where we don't want to go. So just let's not talk about it. Jesus said to the disciples after he had finished talking to the woman at the well. He arrived, it's in John 4, he arrived at the well. He was hungry, he was tired, he was exhausted. And he just sat there. Ever felt like that? Ever felt like, oh, all I need to do right now is just sit. Good. But guess what happened? This woman came out and Jesus started to share the kingdom with this woman. He gave her amazing insights. And the word of knowledge that he had about her was not to shame her. He was not saying, woman, you're living with a man and you've been married 5 times. Five times. No, what he was saying was, God sees you. He knows where you're at. He knows the pain that you carry and the rejection that you've been through. You've had 5 men reject you. There is a God who loves you and wants to pour his love and acceptance into you. See, when we start to love the world, God will give us the power to love. He'll give us the words. He'll give us the insight. All he's looking for is his body to start to love. And when the disciples came back, Jesus said to them, I have meat you know nothing of. Because when they got back, he was not tired. He was full of energy. He was full of life. Why? Because he gave life. If we become Dead Sea, we become stagnant. We become salty and we become dead. God wants us to be ones who will give life and raise people to life. These words I better give, not preach. Fear was the first one. Denial was the second one. That's not me. God's saying light is light wherever light is. Don't say you don't have that gifting. Don't say that it's for somebody else, not you. You have God in you. Then the last one that I saw was camouflage. I saw people wearing camouflage outfits because they were wanting to fit in. They were wanting to belong. They were wanting to be accepted. See, don't try and get from the world what you're meant to get from the kingdom. And we make a huge mistake when we think that this world will give us what only God can give us. Find your acceptance, find your identity, find your strength in your relationship with God and your relationship with other believers so that you can take off your camouflage outfit and you can stand in the light and be who God made you to be. Let's pray. Papa, Thank you that you are raising up your body to take your love and your goodness into this world. And Lord, as we start to proclaim your love and your goodness, I thank you that signs will follow. Lord, you don't want signs following words of condemnation. You don't want signs following words of judgment. But Lord, where we speak love, where we speak hope, where we speak forgiveness, provision, deliverance, Lord, you have already said that these signs will follow. And we thank you for that. Let me give you one more scripture. You can look it up when you go home. It's John 14. I believe it starts in verse 14. Jesus said, "Greater works will you do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it." Wow, if we just lived out of that verse, we would change this world. Ask in my name, and I will do it, that your joy might be full. And I believe his joy will be full, because he will receive the reward for his suffering. As we finish the meeting, I'm just pausing because I'm wanting to see if the Lord's got anything more for us before I close the meeting. I think fear is a big one. In fact, I think the Lord wants to break fear off some people's lives right now. Fear of man, fear of rejection, fear of not fitting in, fear of being labeled some religious nut. If the Lord's speaking to your heart, I want you to stand to your feet just right where you are. Father, I thank you that perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And Lord, I thank you for these ones that have stood. Because Father, I thank you that you will set them ablaze as a burning torch, a burning torch. And I thank you for it. I thank you for it. And Lord, we say to fear, be gone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We take authority over fear. We break its hold. In the name of Jesus. Someone got a prophetic word.
Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Come on, Darwin. I felt like somebody had something.
Scripture I was getting is no condemnation, That's one that she spoke out just now. I got that. Thus no weapon formed against me will prosper. And the Lord is saying, fear is a weapon. It cannot prosper against you. You are children of the Most High God.
I felt like there were some people who didn't stand who needed to stand. So if that's you, you didn't stand, but it's you've been sitting here going, oh, I think I should have. I encourage you to stand right now because God's not finished. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. It's all right, Diane. Go for it. Scripture says that he will fashion the plowshares into pruning hooks. Come on, Smitter. I'm going to close this meeting very soon. So if you've got something that God's given you, you need to come and share it very quickly.
I had the scripture, Romans 8:31, where he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And some of you are looking at yourself as cracked pots, and you feel like you are of no use. But the cracked pot is from where the light actually shines, not from the closed pot. So.
Okay, cracked pots. I'm going to finish the meeting because I need to honour time for people, but I feel like God's still wanting to do some things. So if you're wanting some prayer, I encourage you to come to the front because I feel like God's wanting to do some things with some people, and especially if you're standing, but even if you're not, if you want prayer, because I feel like God's just wanting to break some things open. But if you're not receiving prayer, enjoy having fellowship out the back. Don't forget, in 15 minutes there'll be the meeting. And if you're a guest, if you go to the information table there, we'd love to bless you with a CD. So be blessed. You're free to move, free to come forward, or free to go through to have a cup of tea.